Erickson, and you're listening to the Improv Conspiracy Podcast. And I think that rehearsals are actually really cool.
The Improv Conspiracy Podcast with your host, Bronny.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Improv Conspiracy Podcast. I am your host, Bronny. This week's episode is with Haley Erickson. Haley is a filmmaker, writer, actor, director, goddamn award-winning, bloody world-touring filmmaker. She's got laurels I can only dream of having, and she doesn't dare rest on them. She keeps on pushing.
I can never rest.
On top of all that, she's an improviser from Sydney and Austin, Texas, all the way down into Melbourne. And here she is now. She's talking to us about a topic which we just heard, which I wasn't aware of, which is rehearsals are really cool.
Actually, really cool.
Rehearsals are actually really cool. And I'd love to find out why you put the word actually in there. So I'm going to throw it to Haley now to tell us why.
Hi, Bronny. Yeah, I think that this is specifically about long-form improv. My passion, obviously, in improv is, you know, everything, but the movie format is where I come alive. And I think that when long-form narrative improv is the topic of conversation, that rehearsals are just the best thing you can do for yourself to go out and forget it all when you're actually performing. So I also want to just say this. I think that everything I say here tonight is purely my philosophy, and I wouldn't take it as advice. It's a note on the healthcare. I'm not a doctor. but it's kind of, it goes down to this idea of muscle memory improv and kind of leading into intuition. I think that when we're talking about long form narrative improv, obviously format and understanding the techniques that come with writing a narrative all together as a group live, it can be pretty daunting, and it's pretty hard because you're thinking about what you're going to do in that scene, but you're thinking about the overarching narrative as well. And I think that a lot of people can get pretty intimidated by the idea of like doing all of that at once. And I think the way around that is rehearsals. And I think that, you know, it's improv is it's an art form where we're lucky enough in that, you know, if you're skilled as an improviser, if you've done improv, if you just have an interest in it, you can kind of hop into a room or hop on stage with other improvisers and go. And that's the beauty of it. But I think when it comes to long form, it's important to kind of have that idea of what you're doing and the things that you're building with that group beforehand. So I think that whereas a lot of people might with improv be like, oh, rehearsal, that's goofy. I want to just get out there and do what I like doing. I think that it helps you kind of build that language so that you can throw it away in the interest of like actual play. So yeah. When I say that rehearsals are actually pretty cool, I mean it.
That's so cool. Thank you, Haley, for your rant. I wasn't expecting it. First thing I want to talk about is this idea of rehearsing and feeding. You used the word intuition.
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah, you did.
I did. I think.
Well, it's this like, it is this, when you train improv over and over and over and over and over, it's not so that you can check the rules and the textbooks when you're on stage in front of an audience.
No.
It's so that you can forget all that stuff and know that it's just like it's in your bones.
Yeah, it's muscle memory. I think that that's like, especially when you're talking about long form, it's like if you're working within a specific format or you're working within a genre or you're working within a show that like sometimes it can get as specific as like, you know, it's Chekhov. So it's like you're working with a language. I think it's like having a rehearsal beforehand sets you up to feel very confident in the moment, because when you're on stage, you don't want to be thinking about any of those things. You just, I think, want to be having fun. And I think that's the core of my statement, is that improv really is about play. And I think that in order to actually be able to let go of those inhibitions and really react and listen and follow the strand that ends up being the thing that you actually want to be doing, it's better to have that kind of the tool belt that you've already filled.
I usually think of it like I'm only going to check the tool belt when I'm stuck. If like I can't.
Right.
If we're going to use the tool metaphor.
This calls for a hammer.
Yeah. What would solve this moment right now? But usually like that's the worst case scenario, the last ditch effort. And connecting with you is not working because you're somewhere else. Then I might go like,
you're
what?
You're searching for a tool.
Then I'm searching for a saw or a hammer or a screwdriver. To me, the movie and an all genre long form narrative. I mean, yeah, honestly, most long form is like driving a car.
In what way?
In that to be safe on the roads, you should be predictable.
That's beautifully said, and I think that I do drive like that.
But like, you want to be like, you want to be inside a car having a good time with your pals.
Sure.
But like, indicating to gesture to everyone else when I'm fucking it up now. But but you know, Brian, to stay safe on the road. You know, when people do things that you don't expect, like. Like if they stop on a main road to let someone cross the main road, that's unpredictable behavior, and that's what causes car accidents.
Yeah, that among, you know.
And someone in a movie will be like, this is a fun parody of the movie Jaws.
Sure.
What if I made it Harry Met Sally plus Jaws plus space plus I'm also pregnant with three eggs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, why are you doing all that? Yeah. Why are you being so clever?
Yeah. That's I honestly think the biggest piece of advice I have to people who have never done the movie format is, I'm like, look, we have all seen movies, hopefully. And if you haven't, you're in for a real treat when you start. It's going to be great once you get in there. But it's like, you know, we have that kind of in our DNA, like we understand three act structure, even if we don't know what it is cognitively. And we understand what these tropes are of genre. So if we're doing a horror film, right, and it feels like we're doing a horror film, maybe it's even been addressed that we're doing a horror film. We know that the tropes are X, Y, and Z, and we should just do that, because the fun comes from the moments between and all the specifics that can happen once we all know that the road that we're going on is safe driving.
Yeah, no one's doing a death wave.
I love that I said the road is safe. It's a horror movie. Metaphors are hard.
The characters are scared. The actors are not.
Yes. Yeah.
Same in improv and in the movies.
Yeah, 1,000%. So yeah, I think it's sometimes I think when improvisers get into long form, they're like, oh, what can I do to kind of be unpredictable in order to make this interesting? Where I kind of like to approach long form, especially the movie, with the idea that it's like, I'm going to do the thing I've seen 1,000 times before. So that, like, as far as a choice with the story and the actual plot goes and the structure, so that when I have a conversation with this other character, I can go anywhere.
Exactly. And the story, and what, and when we go anywhere in our little scene, that doesn't need to derail the whole plot.
No, absolutely not. And I think that's the fun of having structure in long form, is it's like, you all kind of know where the beats are going to be, mm-hmm. and you know where the turning points might exist.
Yeah.
But between that is like, that's where the gold is, right? It's like,
yeah,
you can add a lot of scenes in there that are just for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I have an opinion on both these. So we're talking about movie. So let's keep talking. Let's dig deeper. In the movie, there's two things. Well, you are a movie maker, both on stage and on movies. You know this.
I've got quite a few laurels.
You do. You do, but don't dare lean on them, please.
But I'm so tired. I need a rest.
There are two things that happen in movie that I think are the most fraught with danger.
Sure.
For fucking the plot.
Let me hear
and
out.
Like, and I agree, by the way, that rehearsals are good because they help us iron out these undisciplined behaviors. So I have my opinions, but I'm going to let you talk first on both the Zoom feature of the improvised movie and a montage. Can you talk to me about, just tell me your first thoughts when
my first thoughts on how they're misused or what you can do with them?
Either. Both. Okay.
Well, I think the Zoom feature is incredible in that it's like, you know, rarely in improv do you get to control the space with such accuracy, right? And what a fun thing to be able to like make the feature of that scene the mustache. You know, you could do that if you want to. So I think it really gives you the tools to kind of like manipulate the stage in a way that the audience is along for the ride as far as like visualizing. And like, I think that's like one of the most beautiful things about the movie. If we're like giving a positive and a negative, I think that very often with the Zoom, I think the thing that happens with the Zoom that I find unfortunate sometimes is that it's something that we kind of use as a crutch, and then we don't do our best to kind of try to mimic like its purpose. So I think when you're using a Zoom in a scene, at least my philosophy is like, if someone's manipulating the camera as someone who's assisting from the side, if you're the actor and you're the improviser who's being zoomed in on, if you're the lucky one who gets to show off their mustache, step forward onto stage so that the audience gets to kind of like feel that shift in depth of perception. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my thought on Zooms.
Hell yeah.
Do you have, I feel like you have a really specific idea for what you
No. But what I did become conscious of just then is that there's probably people in the room who don't know what the improvised movie is. So I might just lay that out real quick. When we talk about the Zoom feature, we talk about other performers. So say we're in a scene together, other performers can come and frame us as the camera, and they might tell the audience what the camera is doing to change out the audience's perception of what's happening in the scene.
Yeah,
and it's a specific long form that you can learn in the Improv Conspiracy at some point.
Yeah.
Hopefully that sorted everyone out.
Great. That was beautiful. It was informational and also a sales pitch.
Thank you. Yeah,
I'm
buy
really
it.
Impressed.
Yeah, I teach it. I teach it. I'll get to my thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts on the montage now as well. Have you seen a good one?
Never.
Have you been in good montage?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I think it's a really fun tool. I think it's also one of the other things I love about the movie format is that you can skip time in a way that is really, really fun. And you can have the audience along for a ride with it. You can showcase a lot of different things happening. I have a preference when it comes to montage that there's music.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I have done a lot of the movie in the US. So that's kind of like in Austin specifically. I've done a lot of different forms of the movie over there. And like something that I have grown to love in the movie format is that, you know, the tech gets really involved.
Yes.
And, you know, I think it's not necessary, but it's a fun little thing that we can do where, you know, obviously, you know, a montage without music is just, well, it's a montage. But a montage with music is
experience.
It's emotional. Yeah. So yeah. I think that, you know, if we can get tech involved in the montage and in general with the movie, I think the more that you can have a relationship with the tech booth, it makes things like pretty exciting for
nice
the actual
to say
experience.
Booth. We don't have a booth here. We have a table.
Look, Bronnie, I think you're being really specific on what a booth is. For me, a booth is, it's more of a mindset.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I should think more kindly.
Think theatrically.
just quickly, because she's in the room, my favorite, one of my favorite movie memories is teching for a movie that Laura was in. And Laura, do you know the trailer? Do you remember that when the It was remade? When the It movie? You don't remember It? You
I'm know, shaking my head.
The clown?
Now. No, I know the movie.
You know
I
the
just
movie?
I don't remember the trailer.
Well, the trailer had like a little boy who ran into like a traffic island, traffic little thing. A traffic, what'd you call that? Yeah, traffic barrier.
Oh,
he was like running down the road and it smacks him in the head.
Yeah, okay.
That's in the trailer, and we used to do a show called Advanced Screening where we would watch the trailer of a movie that wasn't released yet,
oh my God,
and then we would
so
do
fun.
That movie for the audience. And
and
Laura came on, and I just kept doing the sound effect of the boy getting hit by the traffic barrier, and Laura had to keep pretending she was getting hit by something. And boy, was I having a great time.
See, and that's the beauty of involving tech. It's a very important part.
I didn't let her get a word in. No, I'm sure I did, but that's all I remember of the show.
Sometimes words are not important.
So the reason I brought them up is because I think the Zoom is, it's like the best, most gifty feature of the form that we should use more, right? But also when someone gets zoomed in on, they get, in my experience, often they freak the fuck out.
Because they're like, no one's ever seen me this close.
And they start talking and they do, like, that's when I find the plot goes weird. Because they start
during
talking
the Zoom,
during the Zoom, because they'll monologue during a Zoom, and then they'll bring in details that then the cast goes, oh, that's a fun detail. Let's let that change the entire trajectory of the show. And I think the same thing happens in montages where sometimes I wish we could just go, hey, let's not learn anything in a Zoom or a montage. Like, as in, like, let's not learn any new world-altering detail. Because it'll be like we see a montage where Haley's character is training for the big fight.
Classic.
And then we'll leave you in a montage a little too long, and suddenly you're baking a cake for your child's third birthday.
Which is a classic fight move.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then inexplicably the cast will go like, we better honor that thread, and we'll do 25 minutes of like the kid's birthday plot. And I'm like, it's the fun detail. It doesn't need to be the whole story. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking
about. Am I talking crazy?
I think this is a great point. This is, I think, brings up one of the things that happens sometimes with a movie where it's like, I think because we have so many, we're basically wizards during the movie. Like, hear me out. Hear me out. We're wizards. Always wanted to be one. But we're like, we have a wand and we can wave it in any way we want in a way that's like, it's a little bit more three-dimensional than some of the other improv formats that we're used to. So I think it's like, that's exciting because it's like, oh, we can really go anywhere and we can change the course of this story based off of how the side players are interacting with it and how the camera's moving. We can, you know, give some information just purely by the fact that we've cut to a wide here. Like, and it's very exciting in that way because it's truly collaborative.
Yes.
And in that way, it's also a little bit scary because, it's like things can go off the rails pretty quick.
Yeah. I feel like I do call it the distraction sandwich, and just knowing what is bread, which is plot, the plot's
course.
The bread,
yeah,
and knowing when you're doing a bit of meat, and if you're doing a bit of meat, just don't carry the meat forward, just carry the bread.
I think it's interesting that you made the plot the bread.
That is true.
There's two plots.
But I mean, the relationship of the scene is like, the scene begins with a line of plot.
Yes.
Which is why we are in this scene.
And then the meat.
And then the scene is just like whatever we want to do.
And then you're
and then the other bit of bread is the bit of
never carry
plot.
The meat. That's honestly. Wait, can we start the podcast over? Hi, I'm Haley Erickson, and this is the Improv Conspiracy Podcast. And I think never carry the meat.
Yes.
And also rehearsals are really cool. Actually, really cool.
They are really cool. No, I agree with that point. Yeah. But I get in trouble with this metaphor all the time because it is a bad metaphor, but it's a scene metaphor. It's a metaphor for the scenes.
I love it. It's perfect. I can't see a flaw.
Plot is bread.
Yeah,
but you're saying it's interesting I chose plot as bread because bread's the least interesting part of a sandwich.
No. I actually think it's interesting in a way that I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, Ronnie, because you're honestly getting to the core of maybe my thesis on all of this, which is that I think that, you know, you can't have a sandwich without bread.
That's true. It's just
then
a bit
it would
of
just be a kebab. No, then it'd just be a steak, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the plot is, it's the skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
For the entire format to work.
It's a vehicle with which we're consuming
the meat. Back on the highway.
So I think nothing else, I'll make my metaphors work.
So yeah, you're right in the sense that it's, plot is the bread. It holds it all together.
Thank you for ending my metaphor.
I just want everyone to know that Ronnie just lifted his fist into the sky.
I was stoked by that.
I was too.
Yeah, great. So something I want to pick apart is something just in your body language, by the way.
Oh, God.
Well, not actually. It's more in your tone. But you used the word when you said actually.
Sure.
Right. And then also a little later on, you were like, think personally that improv should be playful and fun.
Yeah.
But it feels like you're saying that as though, like, do you feel like other people don't think that improv should be playful and fun?
No, I think everyone does improv because it's playful and fun. But I think that sometimes we get lost.
Yes.
In focusing on, I think improv can, for obvious reasons, become really cerebral. Mm. And like, I think that it is in its nature, you know, very like thought provoking art form. But I think that when we're in the moment of play and we're like actually executing this thing we call improv, I think getting out of our heads and into our bodies and into our intuition and into our, like, I don't know, getting into the fun of it is really the important piece. And I think that, not that it matters what the audience is experiencing in the sense of, like, you know, it's like we want them to have a good time, obviously, but it's like, you know, it's not the core of why we do this. But I do think, you know, when I have been an audience member, watching improv happen, I think the most fun I've ever had is when I can tell the players are having a really good time.
Yeah.
So I think that for me is really important. I think the part of where I get a little meek is that I think that I think that there is a lot of like reverence for and praise of technique. And I think that is so understandable because I think that at its core, you know, improv without all of that would just be goofing. And it's not just that. So I think it's all really, really valuable. But I think that when I go onto stage, I try to just kind of throw all of that away and just like, you know, have a good time.
Oh, yeah. I think it's probably important to make a distinction between like shared fun.
Yes.
And like my individual fun.
Absolutely.
Because like, I think some people will hear that advice and go like, I knew it. I'm just having fun. And then like, they'll have fun at the expense of everyone on their team.
Yeah. That's a great point, Bronnie. Yeah.
Instead
fun,
of like,
it's about partnership.
Yeah. And when you talk about the audience, you, for example, seeing that the troupe is having fun.
Yeah.
that's you're seeing them have fun together.
Yeah.
You're not seeing a couple of people have fun and seven people like wipe sweat off their brow.
Well,
and
no, go like, that's
what
not
the fuck's
fun.
Happening?
That to me, anxiety. Yeah. That doesn't sound fun.
No. So it's like, yeah, it's these people who are enjoying each other's company and,
right,
and playing with each other's toys.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Which I think is where it comes when I say that rehearsal is important in that. And sometimes when I get a little bit meek when I talk about that is, mm-hmm, I think that I don't think it's necessary for a group to have performed together like many times over or to have spent a bunch of time in training together in order to have like a fun, amazing, great show. Mm-hmm. But I think that it is such a beautiful thing when a group has clearly spent the hours like nailing down how they communicate, like figuring out what makes them giggle together, like just knowing each other as performers. Yeah. And especially with format, because it's like, you know, you get the bread down, the meat can be whatever.
Yeah, you know that's what I mean? It.
The meat could be an eggplant.
Could be. Don't drop that. That's my own microphone. Haley's gesturing dropping of the microphone.
Which,
threatening.
You know,
threatening.
It was very threatening, wasn't it?
So whilst I agree with you, I totally agree with you, by the way. But fun fact, the day that I met you.
That's true.
We met.
Oh, great point.
We met for a wine because we had a mutual friend and that friend was like, talk to this person.
Yes.
And we met. And then I had a show literally an hour later.
That's true.
And I invited you to play in it.
These are facts.
And it was really fun.
It was a great show.
Why?
Yeah. Why?
We didn't rehearse shit.
Oh, Bronny. I feel like we had been rehearsing for that moment our entire lives. So, yes, we'd never met. And yet... we'd both been training for it.
Well, yeah, I think this is true, yeah.
We were having montages off stage for years. No, yeah, I don't know. I agree. I think it's like, it's again, not necessary like for there to be like magic and spark. But I think that's kind of like when I say rehearsal, I think of it as like specifically when we're talking about like long form and like when you're getting into a genre, right?
Yeah.
And then when it gets broader and it's like something like that, where it's just like an impromptu show or like you're playing with all sorts of new people or you're dropping in, it's like that the training that you've done through your years is also applicable.
Mm-hmm.
That's also rehearsal.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was getting at. Because I think that is rehearsal. You and I had a good show that night and had fun because we had rehearsed.
Yeah.
And you and we just rehearsed in different cities, but we rehearsed the same. We knew via the mutual friend that we had a lot of similar experiences whilst they were in separate states and countries.
And I feel like the hour before we performed was rehearsal.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Because connection and like finding out what we each find funny and what delights us and what makes us giggle, that's all.
Absolutely.
That's all what you're saying in terms of like if you do it a genre, you need to do it more specifically.
Yeah.
But
1,000%. I also think it's like, I think the reason I landed on that statement was number one because I thought it was fun to say, and number two because I was like going through when you were like think about something you're really passionate about, I wrote down like three pages of things and then I looked at it and I was like, oh, I don't know how any of these connect, but then when I started like really thinking about the core of all of the things that I was like excited about, I think all of them had to do with the fact that when I enjoy performing and when improv feels like transcendent to me, it's mostly when I am fully like in the moment, not thinking about anything that, you know, could possibly be understood as like technical, like optimizing the scene.
Right.
It's just about like whatever's happening in that scene.
Beautiful.
And I think that when I started to kind of think about like what that meant, I think it was really like at the end of the day, it's about like getting these reps in. Okay, Jim, getting in these reps so that you got the muscles so that when you have to call on the muscles, this is a metaphor.
I love it.
Then they're there already.
They're there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to worry because you're ripped.
Yeah, if I'm like, hey, can you move this bookshelf for me? You're like, yeah. I've been doing reps.
I'm like, absolutely. Don't even worry about that. I'll move that bookshelf.
I have two more things to say before we move on to your practical nugget. First thing I want to say, actually, I just want to come back to you and I having that fun show experience.
Great.
And I just want to make a point that I see in like end of term feedback, like from students, like one in every 10 says this, less checking in with each other before at the start of class. Or like less talking to each other, let's get into it sort of
what?
Thing. And I'm like, you're missing a huge part of what this art form is, which is learning to connect better on stage with one another.
Oh my God.
And they'll be like, can we stop talking to each other beforehand and just start doing exercises? I'm like, no, that's there on purpose.
Whoa.
So that you actually like listen to each other and learn about each other.
Whoa.
Isn't it crazy?
I'm both in shock and furious, and it's hard because I want to say things.
Yeah. I would say tense. I read it once a term. Read it once a term
what?
Easily. I mean, that's
look,
out of 100 and something people.
Everyone has a different approach to this stuff, right? And I get that, like, yeah, everyone needs different things. I this is so funny. I'm just going to give you what I thought maybe was going to be my practical nugget now.
Fuck yeah.
And then I'll go to the list for another practical
okay,
nugget.
Cool.
Because and this sounds so dumb, and maybe it's not a practical nugget, but it is my advice. I think that people who do improv should compliment each other endlessly. And I think they should be really friendly with each other to the degree that they can be as often as they can be. And I think my whole statement with that is that I think that we have a hard time when we come off stage or like beforehand when we're all like nerves because we have no idea what's going to happen. Not isolating, and like improv is a team sport. So like where I'm like, I'm sure there are different people that need different things. I think that if we all try to get in the habit of like vocalizing what we love about each other's performances and what we love about each other's energies more frequently, it would become more natural and it would feel less weird. And then you know what? Period.
That. That rules. That rules. I'm so glad that's separate to your practical nugget. That's can we get two practical nuggets?
It's also not that practical.
No, that is practical.
Like theoretical.
I think. Well, practically, I'm going to tell anyone I perform with this weekend how great they are.
Okay.
I can do that.
Yeah.
And hey, I think you're doing really well in this podcast.
Oh my God, Brian.
You're really shining brightly. Oh. Honestly.
I think it's amazing that you have helped me feel so comfortable in a space that, you know, originally felt so cold.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Like, I think that you also are, like, really incredibly advanced when it comes to technology. And I love your mics.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love your home mics. I can't believe these came from your home.
All right, the last thing, just about the movie again. I was just talking about this on Monday because I'm currently teaching it. Okay, it's multifaceted, I get. Maybe it's not. But the disconnect between, like, the eight people who are on stage who are doing this thing where they're, like, they're framing your face with their fingers.
Yeah.
And it feels, when you're up there doing it, if you're not aware of what it feels like in a, from the audience perspective, it can feel a little silly.
Yeah.
I'm just a boy standing in front of a girl asking her to love me with a, no, I'm just like framing this person's face. What is this? This isn't doing anything. But in the audience,
sure.
They're viewing a piece of cinema. And I've been chasing, I don't know if you know my metaphor about grandma's lasagna. Where, like, you eat grandma's lasagna for the first time. You've heard me talk about this?
No, but please, for the group.
You eat grandma's lasagna for the first time, and it's the best lasagna you've ever had, and you chase grandma's lasagna for the rest of your life, and not even grandma can live up to grandma's lasagna.
Poor grandma. The next time
you have grandma's lasagna, you're like, what did you do differently? And she's like, nothing. But you're like, it doesn't taste the same because you're not having the same experience. There was this one improvised movie in a class once where we were doing a war movie. all my movie students have heard this story, but and someone threw a grenade into a bunker, and the scene was happening in a bunker. Someone threw a grenade in, and then this is all side support. Someone did the sound of the explosion of the grenade, and then someone went, did like the piercing ear sound, and the performers on the stage started muffling their voices so that it was all like incoherent. And then eventually the piercing sound fades away and their voices came back. And I was like, I saw all of it. You know, I saw like the hazy screen, the dust everywhere. I heard that cacophony, like, because I was in the audience, yeah. Gobsmacked. That's Grandma's Lasagna in the movie for me. And I try to tell people, like, when you're doing a little shitty, stupid little frame around someone's face, that could be lasagna. Right? Thoughts?
My thoughts are, give me a slice of that pie. Give me a scoop of that meat pasta dish. No, that sounds amazing. It made me a little emotional while you were really talking about it. I was like, even hearing it, I was like, oh, wow, they nailed it on all fronts. Incredible. But I think that is the beauty of the movie, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think it's like, it's so exciting as an improv format because I think it's like really and truly we can do anything with it. And I think that going back to like the conversation we were having about like, here are the things that can happen when you maybe misuse the Zoom, or like, here's the things that happen when you use the monitor. It's like, all that exists, of course, but like, oh, here are the things that can happen when you suddenly whip the camera around a couple at a dance scene and we feel like we're watching them fall in love and they're turning and there's fog and it's like, you know, just one example. But it's like, I think that it's such a beautiful anecdote about a time that you witnessed the movie like go beyond kind of what we're used to on stage. And I think that I love lasagna.
I just like, I guess the reason I bring it up is like the audience will go with you even when you feel like you should commit at all times, because the audience is like, they're so willing to commit and to see everything that's not actually there. Anyway.
Yeah. I think that's like that. It's like that shared language, right? So I think movies, again, if you're lucky enough to have witnessed a movie in your life, maybe a thousand, whatever, it's like we have this like kind of innate recognition of something cinematic.
Yeah.
So even if we don't have words for it, I think when we see something happening that feels really theatrical in that sense, and it just, we go back to like this core memory of like a movie we saw that feels like that, or like felt like that moment. And and I think it's this beautiful spot when you hit that you know, shared understanding of what this scene is. And I think it's funny to think about, like, if you took that scene out of context and you just watched it without sound, like, it's like, oh, what is this? But it's like, for some reason in that moment,
yeah
it feels so real.
Yeah, you couldn't tell people at work the next day about it.
Well, you, I was at this crazy, like, have.
Well, I have, but my work is improv teaching. But it's your office job. You can't be like, guess what I saw last night? Anyway.
Now for a practical nugget.
This is maybe controversial.
Fuck yeah.
Don't be afraid to break the fourth wall. Is that practical?
Is that it?
Well, I have more to say, but I'm just like, checking more. In with
That's
you.
That's practical.
Does that feel practical enough?
Totally, yeah.
I think I'm a bit like ethereal in nature, so sometimes I like wonder if something's actually like grounded in reality.
Yeah, no, that is.
Okay, great. Practical tip. Break the fourth wall. I think, okay, I'm like, don't overuse this, of course, because it can get really exhausting if you're watching a show that breaks the fourth wall. But I think it is really fun, specifically in the movie format, kind of going back to what we were talking about like bringing the audience along with you. Mm-hmm. remembering that like we're all discovering the scene at the same time and the audience is very much a part of it. Mm-hmm. So like I love when I'm in the audience, if improvisers kind of make me feel like I'm part of the joke. But I also think it's like a fun tool where we can, like, you know, they do this in movies too, where it's like, if there's a specific moment that calls for it and someone clocks the camera, we all know what that means. Mm-hmm. That's them being like, haha, you're along with us for the ride. And like, how good is that feeling?
So good.
So I think that play with that in your improv and don't be afraid of it. Cause I think that I do think it gets a bit of a bad rap, like being a little too meta, like living in the second story a little too much. Look, it's not going to be everyone's favorite thing. Yeah. But I have found that it's a really fun tool. It's a meat I'd put between my bread.
Nice. What I think would be fun is if you and I do a scene from a movie. Right?
Okay.
So what I'd love, we're going to get three suggestions. One is the genre of the movie, if anyone wants to shout out that. Oh my God, three people wanted to see a romance. We're going to do a romance film. And what's the title of the movie? It's a romance movie called The Biggest Tower in New York City.
I love it.
It's a 90-minute movie. What minute are we at?
47. Okay, we're right after the midpoint.
All right, we're going to do the 47th minute of The Biggest Tower in New York City, a romance film.
Are we standing up?
Yeah, we can stand up.
Okay.
All right. We open on a reception desk on the ground floor of the biggest tower in New York City. And there's a person behind the counter.
What a big tower.
You're Miranda, aren't you?
Yeah, it's my first day.
I was told to expect you.
I've had a rough go.
We've all heard.
Yeah, here in this city.
Yeah, we got the memo.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. We didn't intend for it to go that way.
Well.
But the bus is waiting for you if you want to go through.
Have you ever been on the bus?
The bus in New York City?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, before I had this job. Since I have this job, I have a lot more money. I catch the train.
I love trains.
Yeah. Did you think I said the bus was ready?
I did.
Yeah, I didn't. I said the boss is ready if you'd like. We didn't prepare a bus for you. But
rather a shame. I was excited about the bus.
Yeah, if you want that, I mean, we've heard a lot about you. We'll prepare a bus for you if you like. I mean, it's different treatment than we've given anyone else, but.
I'm worth it.
We've heard. Do you want to go through Miranda or do you want to, feels like this might be a little bit of a. Is this a meet cute?
I don't know if it's a meet cute, but we're meeting and I think it's cute.
We zoom in on this character's face.
I've never met someone and so quickly felt I'd ride a bus with them.
Well, in case I didn't make it clear before, I don't catch the bus anymore. In fact, I've sworn off it.
Time stops. People in the background, people in the foreground. Every day for a year, they have the same conversation. 1 year later.
Miranda, I feel like, when are we going to get to it? You know?
I'm married. You know that.
Yeah, but you got married after you met me.
I don't love him.
I know you don't. I counseled you through the whole process. I told you not to do it.
And guess what? I did.
Yeah, I know you did.
Because he was the boss.
Yeah, I know. How do you think I feel watching you every day go up to his office? work for him and be with him, go home with him.
In the biggest tower in the city.
In the biggest tower in New York City.
You know what it's like to be on the elevator and look down?
No, I'm not allowed.
It's really cool.
Yes! Yeah, I wonder what happens in the rest of that movie.
I think they're gonna end up together.
Oh, I think so too. Give a round of applause for Hayley Erickson, everybody! Thank you so much, Hayley. Hey, you were really funny on that and really smart, and you said some shit I had never heard you think about. So thank you so much for all your incredible thoughts and brain.
Hey, Ronnie, you dealt with me thinking you said bus so seamlessly. And somehow it became like a part of the story, and like you're incredible with like taking these mistakes and making them gold. And like you were so easy to do a scene with because I like you as a person. I think you're a really good guy.
We should make this less weird to do.
It's important.
You're beautiful, Hayley Erickson. Thank you so much. Bless your face. Have a good life, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Improv Conspiracy Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love for you to take a moment to rate and review us on your preferred service. 5 stars, please.